Flashpoint presents, in association with BBC Films, a Regent Entertainment production. In association with Greg Feenberg. A Bill Condon film. Starring Ian McKellen, Brendan Fraser, and Lynn Redgrave. Gods and Monsters. In silhouette, Frankenstein's monster lurches across a barren landscape. Now, a hazy morning sky over a vast ocean. Also starring Lolita Davidovich, David Dukes, and Kevin J. O'Connor. A trailer park near the coast. In one of the trailers, a young man lying on his bed reaches for his cigarettes, knocking over a bottle of beer. He grabs the cigarettes and lights up. Now he pulls on a white vest over his muscular body, then shaves in a small mirror. He ties the laces of his shoes, then steps out of the trailer. The square-jawed, handsome young man, Clay Boone, has a flat-top haircut. He strides over to his clapped-out truck, punching a speed bag on his way. The back of the truck is full of gardening supplies. He gets in and drives off. The truck wends its way up a path cut into the side of a hill, then follows a coastal road overlooking the gleaming ocean. Based upon the novel Father of Frankenstein by Christopher Bram. The truck turns into the driveway of a spacious, well-kept front lawn and makes its way to the front of a large house. Clay gets out of the truck and lifts a lawnmower from the back. James Whale, an elderly man with white hair, is watching him intently from a window. Written for the screen and directed by Bill Condon. A maid carrying a tray shuffles into the room alongside a middle-aged man in a suit.
She was nothing but a bother. I not like her, Mr. Jimmy not like her. Would be better if you live in again, Mr. David.
And stop. If there's any emergency, you call me in New York.
Mr. Jimmy, more coffee?
And?
How well is this one? Just half a cup, Hannah.
Isn't Hannah a peach?
Looking sheepish, Hannah hurries away.
But she tells me that you haven't been sleeping very well.
Well, it's these ridiculous pills they prescribe. For instance, the Luminal. If I take it, the next day I go around as stupid as a stone. And if I don't take it, well, then my mind's going off in 100 directions at once.
Then take the Luminal.
Well, yes, but today I wanted to be alert for your visit. Particularly as I saw so little of you at the hospital.
Jimmy, I'm sorry, but with this picture and two difficult stars...
Dear David, it's no pleasure making you feel guilty. Go on, off you go. You don't want to miss your aeroplane.
David pecks Whale on the lips, then gives him a hug. David notices a painting on the wall.
I like your new saison.
Goodbye, Hannah.
I get the door.
Whale goes back to the window and watches Clay starting up the lawnmower. As a jet of smoke shoots out of a pipe from the mower, Whale remembers himself as a boy, staring up at a factory chimney spewing smoke. Hannah shuffles into the living room.
Who's this new yard man?
Mr. Boom, I thought something be. I hire him while you're in the hospital. He came cheap.
Clay's trimming the edge of the lawn. Whale strolls towards him.
Bells of hell go tingling a lane.
for you, but not for me.
Oh, death, where is thy sting-a-ling-a-ling? Grave, where thy victory? Good morning. My name is Whale. This is my house. And your name is?
Boone. Clay Boone.
I couldn't help but notice your tattoo. That motto, death before dishonor. What does it mean?
It just means that I was a Marine.
Ah, the Marines. I suppose you served in Korea.
Clay shrugs nonchalantly.
Well, I'm going to get back to work.
Well, when you're through, feel free to use the pool. And we're quite informal here. No need to worry about a bathing suit.
I got another lawn to do this afternoon.
Oh, well, for some other time. Yes, keep up the good work.
Whale gives Clay an appreciative look, then ambles away. He makes his way round to the pool house and peers in through the screen door. He steps inside and hangs his cane on a coat stand. He rolls up the blinds, shedding light onto an art studio. He lifts some old flowers out of a vase and dumps them in a bin, then removes a dust sheet from an easel, revealing a charcoal drawing. A painting of Rembrandt's The Polish Rider sits at the foot of the easel, and the charcoal drawing is an attempt to reproduce the image. Whale remembers himself as a boy, drawing the same picture.
Jimmy, Privy needs cleaning.
I have me class tonight.
Don't get above yourself, Jimmy. Leave the drawing to the artist.
Quite so, Mum. To the Privy.
Quite so, Jimmy Whale. Who are you to put on airs?
Looking in a mirror, Whale combs back his dove-white hair with a silver-backed brush. He straightens his tie.
Is that iced tea, Hannah?
Yes, Mr. Dean.
Cucumber sandwiches.
An interview after so many years. Very exciting.
Don't be dark. It's just a student from the university.
In the living room, Whale settles into his chair and opens a book.
Mr.
Kay,
sir.
Oh, yes, of course, Mr. Kay. I'd almost forgotten. My tea time guest.
Mr. Whale, this is such an honor. You're one of my favorite all-time directors. I can't believe I'm meeting you.
I don't suppose you can.
And this is your house. House of Frankenstein. I thought you'd live in a great big villa or a mansion.
Oh, well, one likes to live simply.
I know. People's movies aren't their lives.
Love dead, hate living.
That's my favorite line in my favorite movie of yours, Bride of Frankenstein.
Is it indeed? Hannah, I think we're going to take our tea down by the swimming pool. Would that be good for you, Mr. Kay?
Sure.
Well, lead on, won't you?
I love the great horror films, and yours are the best. The old dark castle, invisible man.
Hannah looks disapproving.
So, Mr. Kay, what do you want to know?
Everything. Start at the beginning.
Well, I was born just outside London, the only son of a minister who was also a schoolmaster. And Grandpapa was a bishop. Church of...
Whale remembers.
Stop lagging behind, Jimmy. We'll be late for church.
Come on! Stop lollygagging! And straighten up, son. I'll think you're a Nazi boy.
In the present, Whale stares into space with a vacant expression.
Mr. Whale? Your father was a schoolmaster.
Yes, of course. And I was going to go up to Oxford. But the war broke out, and I never made it. You cannot imagine what life was like after the armistice. The 20s in London. A break with everything dour and respectable. I had a knack with pencil and paper, so I was hired to design sets for stage productions.
Hannah serves drinks and sandwiches.
Yes, help yourself. Cucumber sandwiches. Thank you, Hannah. And you can go. There was one play in particular, a beautiful, grim study of war called Journey's End. Every experienced director turned it down, not commercial. So, I offered myself. Journey's End made the careers of everyone associated with it. It was only a matter of time before Hollywood beckoned.
How much longer before we get to the horror movies?
Am I right in assuming, Mr. Kerr, that it is not me that you're interested in, but only my horror pictures?
No, but it's the horror movies you'll be remembered for.
I'm not dead yet, Mr. Kerr.
No, I never said you were, or will be soon. So, Journey's End brought you to Hollywood.
I've got a little proposal. This line of questioning is getting old, don't you think?
I don't mind.
Well, I do. Let's make it more interesting for me. I will answer truthfully any question that you put to me, and in return, for each answer, you will remove an article of clothing.
That's funny, Mr. Whale.
Yes, it is, isn't it? My life is a game of strip poker. Shall we play?
So the rumors are true, then?
What rumors have those been?
That you were forced to retire because of, a sex scandal?
A homosexual scandal, you mean? For me to answer a question of that magnitude, you'll have to remove both your shoes and socks.
You're a dirty old man.
Smiling, Kay takes off his shoes and socks.
Oh, it is kind of you to indulge your elders in their vices. Just as I indulge the young in theirs.
Kay tucks his socks into his shoes, then puts them aside. Then he taps his pencil on his pad and looks at Whale expectantly.
No, there was no scandal. My only other vice.
A cigar.
I expect you'd like a fuller answer to that question.
Kay nods.
It'll cost you your jacket.
Too warm for a jacket anyway.
He takes off his jacket.
You must understand how Hollywood was 20 years ago. If you were a star, nobody cared a tinker's cuss who you slept with, so long as you kept it out of the papers. As for us directors, well, outside Hollywood, who even knows who George Cukor is? Much less what he gets up to with those boys from the malt shops.
George Cukor? Who made Star Is Born?
Take off your shirt and I'll tell you all about it.
Kay peels off his T-shirt. Whale watches while puffing on his cigar.
George is famous for his Saturday dinner parties. Great writers, artists, society folk, all rubbing elbows with Hollywood royalty. But how many of those oh-so-proper people know about the Sunday brunches that followed? Armies of trade, eating up the leftovers, followed by some strenuous fun and frolic in the pool.
Can we talk about the horror movies now?
Certainly. Is there anything in particular that you want to know?
Will you tell me everything you remember about making Frankenstein?
Whale looks down at Kay's trousers.
Can that count as one question?
Of course.
Can't believe I'm doing this.
Kay stands up and takes off his trousers, revealing a pair of Y-fronts and pale, thin legs.
Just like going swimming, isn't it?
Well, maybe you'd like a swim when we're through. I don't swim myself, so the pool tends to go to waste.
Okay, Frankenstein. Who came up with the monster's makeup and look?
Oh, my idea, muchly. Well, my sketches. Big, heavy brow. The head flat on top, so you could take out the old brain and put in the new, like, tinned beef.
He's one of the great images of the 20th century. More important than the Mona Lisa.
No, don't be daft. It's just makeup and padding and a big actor. It's hardly the Mona Lisa.
Boris Karloff. How did you ever think of casting him as the monster? He'd never even starred in a movie before that.
Whale's dropped his cigar. He reaches for it, then suddenly looks ill.
Mr. Whale, is something the matter?
He presses his fingers against his forehead.
Mr. Whale?
Please excuse me.
Mr. Whale, are you all right?
Just need to lie down. Studio. There's a day bed in the studio.
Oh, my God. Mr. Whale, what's wrong? Is it your heart?
My head, my heart.
Hannah comes running out, clutching her apron, which is laden with pills.
Water. Glasses in sink. Which ones? I bring them all.
Luminol.
Whale's lying on an armchair, looking drowsy. Hannah puts a pill in his mouth, then takes a glass of water from Kay and gives it to Whale. He swallows the pill. Then he becomes aware of Kay again.
Mr. Kay, you're not dressed.
To Hannah.
I was gonna go swimming.
So you were. You should probably go home.
As Kay hurries away, Hannah shakes her head at Whale and tuts.
You must think I'm terrible, Hannah.
I don't think you're anything anymore. Just back from the hospital already, you're chasing after boys.
Oh, shut up. All we did was talk.
Perhaps I should get you a pill before the pills knock you cold.
No, please. Let me stay.
Whale rubs his head wearily. Hannah sits down on a rocking chair across from him.
Thank you.
He remembers a battlefield clouded in smoke.
Quiet on the set, please.
This is great.
Mr. Whale.
Jimmy, Priven needs
me. Mr. Whale.
A doctor looks into Whale's eyes.
Open your eyes. Now look left. That's right. And breathe out. Good. Let's see what we've got.
You're a lucky man, Mr. Whale. Whatever damage was done by your stroke, it left your motor abilities relatively unimpaired.
Yes, Dr. Pender. What about from the neck upwards? What's the story there?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to explain. The central nervous system selects items from a constant storm of sensations. Whatever was killed in your stroke seems to have short-circuited this mechanism.
So you're saying there's an electrical storm going on inside my head?
Well, that's as good a way as any to describe it. I've seen far worse cases.
What about all the rest? The killing headaches, the phantom smells. My inability to close my eyes without thinking of 100 things simultaneously.
I've never encountered the olfactory hallucinations before, but I'm sure they're related.
So what do I do?
Take the Luminol to sleep, and whenever you feel an attack coming on.
What you're saying is that this isn't just a case of resting until I'm better, but that my condition will continue to deteriorate until the end of my life.
Now, Whale's lying in bed.
You'll take them all, Mr. Jimmy.
Yes, don't you worry, Hannah.
Good night.
Thank you.
Hannah sets a tray of pills on Whale's lap before heading off. He takes a pill and downs it with some water. He empties the rest of the pills into the palm of his hand and stares at them. The next morning, Hannah opens the door to find Whale lying lifeless in bed. She runs over to the bedside, kneels down and crosses herself frantically. Sitting up in bed, Whale laughs at his own fantasy and pours the pills back into the bottle. The next morning, Whale's sitting in his studio, rubbing out a line of a drawing on his canvas with a frustrated expression. He notices Clay outside, dragging the lawnmower up the stone steps. Whale comes out of his studio.
Everything all right, Mr. Moon?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to disturb you. I just, it got away from me.
I was just going to buzz Hannah to bring down some iced tea. I'd like it very much if you'd join me.
Well, I kind of stink to high heaven right now.
Let me ask Hannah to bring tea for two. Would you prefer a beer?
No. Thanks. But tea is fine.
Splendid.
A little later, Clay tentatively approaches the screen door of Whale's studio.
Come in, Mr. Boone.
This is my workshop, my studio. Hardly somewhere where a sweaty workman should feel out of place.
Are these your paintings?
Yes.
Excuse me, but, are you famous?
Oh, well, you know what they say, if you have to
ask. Look, I'm just a guy who cuts lawns, but, some of these do look kind of familiar.
Well, that's because they were familiar when I painted them. The one you're looking at is a copy of a Dutch still life done nearly 300 years ago. And there's a Rembrandt here, isn't it?
Yeah, copies. I gotcha.
But before I retired, you might say I had my time in the sun. Fame, as it were. Tell me, do you like motion pictures?
Yeah, sure, everybody does. Why, were you an actor?
Oh, good Lord, no. No. Well, actually, I was in my youth, but never in Hollywood, no. Now, here, I was merely a director.
Really? Well, what were some of your movies?
Oh, this and that. The only ones you may have heard of are the Frankenstein movies.
Frankenstein? And, Bride of Frankenstein and The Son of... and the other ones, too?
No, I just directed the first two. No, the others were done by hacks.
Yeah, but still, I mean, those are big movies. I mean, you must be rich.
Well, merely comfortable. Look, Hannah's here with our refreshments. Could you get the door?
Yeah.
Whale watches Clay as he lets Hannah in with a tray of iced tea.
How are you feeling, Mr. Jimmy? How is your mind today?
My mind is lovely. And yours?
You remember what the doctor tells us?
Yes. I have invited Mr. Boone in merely for a cup of tea. We'll have a brief chat, and then he'll finish the yard.
I'm not forgetting your last brief chat.
But you go away, and we can manage.
You look plenty big. You won't need my help if anything goes fluey.
Go. Avant.
Hannah shuffles out of the studio.
Comic made. Now, she's a love, Hannah. But when they've been in your employ for too long, servants begin to think that they're married to you. Please sit down. Oh, and do help yourself, Mr. Boone.
Clay pours himself some tea.
So, what did she mean by things going all fluey?
I'm recently returned from a spell in hospital.
What happened?
Nothing serious. Touch of stroke.
Clay gulps down his drink, and Whale watches him with a mesmerized expression.
You must excuse my staring, but you have the most marvelous head. To an artistic eye. Have you ever modeled?
What, you mean like posed for pictures?
Sat for an artist. Been sketch.
What's the sketch?
You have the most architectural skull. And your nose, it's very expressive.
Broke is more like it.
Sorry to go on like this. It's just the Sunday painter in me. I quite understand your refusal. It's a great deal to ask of anyone.
You mean you really want to draw me?
I would pay for the privilege of drawing that head.
And it's just my head that you want to draw? I mean, nothing else?
And what are you suggesting? That you'll charge extra if I include a hand or a bit of shoulder?
No, I mean, you don't want to draw pictures of me on my birthday suit, do you?
I have no interest in your body, Mr. Boone. I can assure you of that.
Well... Oh. Yeah, why not? I mean, hell, I could use the money.
Excellent.
As Clay returns to his truck, he glances round, then can't help but take a look at his face in the wing mirror. He turns his head and looks at his profile. Now Clay's at the library. He leafs through a book of newspaper clippings and finds an article entitled James Whale Emerges as King of Horror.
Hello.
I know you already paid me. I'm just here so that
the master is waiting for you. He's down in his studio. Here, take this with you.
I'm sorry, lady. You're going to have to take this. I'm just here so he can draw my picture.
I'm keeping away. What you are doing is no business of mine.
What are you talking about?
What kind of man are you? Are you a good man?
Yeah, I'm a good man. Something about me make you think I'm not?
You will not hurt him?
Maybe I'm going to sit in a chair and he's going to draw my picture. Is that going to hurt him?
No. I'm sorry. Forget everything I said. I will take the tray.
Yeah, you do that.
Oh, Mr. Boone, come into my parlor.
Ah, Hannah, good.
Thank you. And Hannah, goodbye. Well, now, I'm sure you would like to wet your whistle on my work.
Oh, beer.
And we'll take it slowly today, because this is your first time modeling.
Oh, hey, did you see this? They're showing one of your movies tomorrow night.
You don't say. Which picture?
Bride of Frankenstein.
Now, I much prefer The Invisible Man or Showboat. Right, now, shall we begin?
Yeah, I'm ready when you are.
Oh, that shirt, Mr. Boone.
Hmm?
Oh, it's new. Yes, I am sorry. It's just too white. It's too distracting. Would it be asking you too much to take it off?
Well, I'm not wearing an undershirt today.
Oh, pish-posh. I'm not your Aunt Tilly.
You did say that you just wanted to draw my face, right?
Oh, well, if it's going to make you uncomfortable, perhaps we can find something else for you to wear.
He rummages round and finds an old cloth.
Yes, we could drape this across your shoulders, like a toga. Would that help you overcome your schoolgirl shyness?
All right. Take his shirt off. Kind of warm in here anyway.
Oh, yes, that's better. Now, and if you'd like to sit slightly sideways, to me. That's right. And then just put your arm on the box there. Just so.
Whale sits down at the easel and starts drawing, glancing at Clay intently. Clay smirks.
Why don't you take a picture? It'll last longer.
That's exactly what I'm going to do.
Clay looks to the side, while Whale concentrates diligently on his work, his tongue lolling slightly out of his mouth.
It's just like being at the doctor. You have to remain perfectly still while I examine and scrutinize you.
Whale sniffs the air.
Dripping.
Huh?
Do you ever eat dripping in this country? The fats from roast and such, kept congealed in a jar, and then used like butter on bread and toast.
Sounds like something you'd feed the dog.
Yes, it is. Only the poorest families ever ate it. We used to keep ours in a large blue crockery jar.
Your family ate dripping?
No, of course not. No, as I say, only the poorest families. God, it's ironic.
What is?
I've spent much of my life outrunning the past. And now it floods all over me. There's something about the openness of your face that makes me want to tell the truth. Yes, our family ate dripping. Beef dripping. And four to a bed. And a privy out back in the alley. Are you also from the slums, Mr. Boone?
We weren't rich, but we weren't poor either.
No, well, you were middle class, like all Americans.
Well, I don't know, I guess you could say we lived on the wrong side of the tracks.
Well, in Dudley, in the north of England, there were more sides to the tracks than any American could imagine. Every Englishman knows his place, and if you forget, there's always someone to remind you. Our family had no doubt about who they were, but I was an aberration in that household, a freak of nature. I had imagination, cleverness, joy. Where did I get that? Certainly not from them. They took me out of school when I was
14 and put me in a factory. They meant no harm. They were like a family of farmers who had been given a giraffe and don't know what to do with the creature except to harness him to the plough. Hatred was the only thing that kept my soul alive in that soul-killing place. And amongst the men I hated was my own poor, dear, dumb father, who'd put me into that hell in the first place.
Whale sees his father across the room, staring at him, his face grimy with dirt. His father smiles.
Mr. Whale?
Whale pinches his eyes shut and lowers his head, covering his face with his hand. He looks over at Clay.
I apologize, Mr. Boone. Since my stroke, I am often overcome with nostalgia.
I'm not so crazy about the old man myself, you know what I mean?
Whale pulls the cover sheet over to the pad to hide what he's drawn so far.
Should we just have a break for 5 minutes?
Spooky movie. Just what this place needs tonight.
Couldn't get any deader, doll. Set me up.
Your friend want one?
Yeah. One for what's his name here. Thanks, doll.
I say we let Loverboy watch his movie and be grateful he's not cutting Shirley Temple's lawn.
Is everyone breaking my balls tonight?
Jesus, Boone. You walk in here proud as a peacock because some old coot wants to paint your picture. We're just bringing you back to Earth.
Sounds screwy to me. Can't imagine a real artist wanting to spend time looking at that kisser.
Oh? Yeah, well, this kisser wasn't so bad that you couldn't lay under it a couple of times.
I bet he's just some fruit pretending to be famous so he can get in the big guy's pants.
What makes you say that?
Just thinking out loud.
Well, why don't you just keep your dirty thoughts to yourself?
All right, then. He's interested in you for your conversation. We all know what a great talker you are.
Fuck you.
Not anymore, you don't.
We're watching the damn movie, Harry. Okay, we're gonna watch the movie.
Calm down.
We'll watch it.
Betty turns on the TV. The opening titles appear. Directed by floats over a white blob, which then jumps forward to form the letters James Whale.
James Whale, right there, huh? What'd I tell you, huh?
What should I do then?
No! This looks horny.
If you don't want to watch it, then just go wash some glasses, all right?
On the TV, an old woman is alone with the monster.
Good old Una. Gobbling like a turkey hen.
Oh, that monster. How could you be working with him?
Don't be daft, Anna. He's a very proper actor. And the dullest fellow imaginable.
To a new world of gods and monsters.
Back at the bar.
These old movies were such a hoot. They thought they were being scary, but they're just funny.
Well, maybe it's supposed to be funny.
Scary is scary, funny is funny. You don't mix them.
Woman. Friend. Why?
Sick stuff. Necrophilia. The monster's lonely. He wants a friend. A girlfriend, somebody. What's so sick about that?
Do you know who Henry Frankenstein is? And who you are? Made me from dead. I love dead. Hate living.
You're wise in your generation.
Whale gazes at the TV with a sullen expression.
It's beating perfectly.
Dr. Frankenstein's machinery sparks and fizzes. Then the monster's bride appears in a white gown, her face pale, a line of stitches running the length of her jaw.
Oh, she's horrible.
The Bride of Frankenstein.
The bride steps forward.
She's beautiful.
At the bar.
Friend?
You don't want him.
Can't leave them, I can't.
Yes, go. You live.
On the screen, the monster destroys the lab. Hannah finishes off her glass of milk as she watches.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Jimmy. Your movie is not my teacup. Still, glad it has a happy ending. The bad people are dead, and the good people live.
She turns off the TV, then ambles out of the room. Whale rests his head on the back of the armchair, remembering. The film set of Bride of Frankenstein.
My God, is the audience to presume that Colin and I have done her hair? I thought we were mad scientists, not hairdressers.
Only a mad scientist could have done this to a woman.
Oh, no, my dear, you look absolutely amazing. There's no way I can compete with you. The scene is yours.
In the sequel, James, two lady scientists should make a monster. And our monster would be Gary Cooper.
I thought Mr. Leslie Howard would be more your line.
More your line, I think.
My line nowadays runs to Rin Tin Tin.
Colin, here. It's time. How is he today?
Stiff as a board. Yes, Colin, come see what they've done to our Elsa.
I'm not quite myself today, Jimmy. A touch of the flu, you know.
Just relax, dear boy. You can do this scene in your sleep.
I gather we not only did her hair, but dressed her. What a couple of queens we are, Colin.
Yes, that's right. A couple of flaming queens. Pretorius is a little bit in love with Dr. Frankenstein, you know. Yes, I think we're pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we give it a go?
Why not?
Okay. Quiet on the set, please. Lights. Sound.
Okay for sound.
And camera.
Scene 215, take one.
They watch the set intently.
Action.
The two mad scientists stand on either side of the bride and drop her gown to the floor. She turns her head in quick staccato movements, looking at them both.
The Bride of Frankenstein.
Whale, his blonde hair slicked back, nods in approval. Now an elderly whale shifts restlessly on his armchair. He takes a bite of a biscuit.
Well, that was a weird movie.
Let's take a little walk, huh? What do you say? A little walk and talk? I really feel like talking tonight.
Clay and Betty stroll away from the bar.
This old guy's exactly the sort of person I expected to meet when I moved here. You know, he's somebody who's really done things with his life.
Do you realize you're more interested in this old goober than you ever were in me?
Sounds different. He's a man. And besides, you got no business calling him a homo, you know?
It never crossed your mind.
Well, he's an artist, but, you know, he's too old to be thinking about sex.
All the old men I know think about nothing but sex.
Hey. What is eating you tonight?
You picked up that girl right in front of me.
I didn't mean anything by that.
No, I'm actually kind of glad it happened. Made me wonder what the hell I was doing with my life. I still have time to get things right. Get married again.
Clay looks taken aback.
You don't mean...
You're not marriage material. You're not even boyfriend material. You're a kid. A big, fun, irresponsible kid.
No, I'm not a kid.
Now, what are you then? What'll you be 10 years from now? Still cutting lawns? Still banging horny divorcees in your trailer? Huh?
So I guess this means you don't want to fuck.
Is that all this conversation means to you? whether I put out or not?
Yeah, you're damn straight. I'm tired of playing games.
She gets in her car, and he slams the door after her.
Hey. Hey, Betty, look, this is coming out all wrong. Betty!
Get it, Boone. From now on, you're just another loser on the other side of the bar.
Hey, Betty! Oh.
Meanwhile, Wales sitting up in bed, his head lolling wearily on his shoulders. He turns on his side and rests his head on the pillow. His face is obscured by the shadows.
We are friends, you and
I. Hurt my boyfriend.
Isn't the monster dead yet?
No.
Have not mystery and horror.
Friend, good
friend.
The air itself is filled with monsters.
In Whale's dream, Clay, dressed like one of the mad scientists, carries him through the stone-walled corridors of the castle and into the lab. Having laid him on the table, Clay uses a scalpel to cut open his head. He pulls off the top of Whale's head and removes his brain, which is blackened and wasted. He picks up a fresh, pale brain and inserts it into Whale's skull. Then he sutures the scalp back into place. He breaks off a piece of thread with his teeth, then goes over to the machinery. He pulls some switches, and pulses of energy travel along the wires. Clay fastens conducting clamps at Whale's forehead, then throws a large switch. Bursts of energy crackle around the machinery. Suddenly, Whale wakes up. He pulls back the sheets. It's morning. Now Hannah helps him into the bathroom and unbuttons the fly of his pyjama trousers. She turns on the tap, and they both look away as Whale relieves himself.
Does the yard man come today?
Of course, this afternoon.
Clay's clipping a hedge.
Hey!
Can I do something for you?
The master wants to know if you're free for lunch. I tell him you'll be having other plans, but he insists I ask.
Well, I do have a lawn this afternoon, but I'm free until then.
Expect nothing fancy.
Now Clay's sitting in the kitchen.
The master is dressing. I'm to offer you a drink. There is whiskey, there is iced tea.
Yeah, tea's fine.
No, you're a guest now. You go sit in the living room.
I'm more comfortable in here, Hannah. It is Hannah, isn't it?
She hands him a glass of tea, then turns away.
So, Hannah, how long have you worked here for Mr. Whale?
Long enough, 15 years. Yeah. You have people, Boone?
Yeah, I have people. They're all back in Joplin, Missouri.
Oh, your wife?
I'm not married.
Why?
No, I don't know. I guess because no girl in her right mind would have me.
A man who is not married has nothing. He is a man of trouble. You need a woman.
Are you proposing what I think you're proposing? But don't you think I'm just a little bit young for you?
Hannah looks at him indignantly.
Oh, men, always pulling legs. Everything is comedy. Oh, how very amusing. How marvelously droll.
She cracks another egg.
So, have you ever been married?
Of course, I'm married still.
So what does your husband do?
He's dead now. 20 years.
Well, then you're as single as I am.
No, I have children and grandchildren, too. I visit when I can. Of course, now Mr. Jimmy cannot be left alone for long, so I do not get out much. Oh, Mr. Jimmy. There is much good in him, but he will suffer the fires of hell. It's very sad.
You sure of that?
That's what the priests tell me. His sins of the flesh will keep him from heaven.
Hell, everybody's got those.
No, his is the worst.
She looks at him pointedly, and he responds with a blank expression.
The unspeakable.
The deed no man can name without shame. What is the good English? All I know is bugger. He's a bugger. Men who bugger each other.
A homo.
Yes, you know. That is why I must go to hell. I do not think it's fair, but God's laws is not for us to judge.
So what you're telling me is that Mr. Whale is a homo.
You did not know?
No, I wasn't very sure.
You and he are not...
Oh, no, Hannah.
Okay. That's what I hope. I did not think you were a bugger, too.
Hannah?
Oh, you must go in quickly. He would not like to think I've had you in the kitchen.
Clay ventures into the living room, where Whale is sitting at the bar, sorting through some papers.
Oh, how are you, Mr. Boone?
I'm all right, I guess.
I'm so glad you could come for lunch.
Princess Margaret, Her Majesty's loyal subjects in the motion picture industry. Cordially invited at reception at the home of Mr. George Cukor, the pushy little... Horning in on the Queen's little sister and then offering to share her with a whole damraj. This is a world I finished with long ago. I paid them no mind and I expect them to return the compliment.
A little later, in the dining room.
Cheers.
They sip their red wine, then unfurl their napkins.
I watched your movie the other night with some friends.
Did you now?
Yeah.
Did anyone laugh?
No.
Pity. People are so earnest these days.
Why, was it supposed to be funny? Well,
yes, of course. A picture about death. I had to make it interesting for myself, you see. So, a comedy about death. The trick is not to spoil it for anyone who's not in on the joke. But the monster never receives any of my jibes. He's noble. Noble and misunderstood.
Clay nods.
In Korea, Mr. Boone, did you kill anyone?
I don't like to talk about that.
It's nothing to be ashamed of. In the service of one's country, something to be proud of.
Any jerk with a gun can kill someone.
Well, that's true. Hand-to-hand combat is the true test. Did you ever slay anyone hand-to-hand?
No. But I could have, though.
Yes, I believe you could.
Clay breaks off a piece of bread, looking agitated.
How free is your schedule this afternoon?
Well, I gotta trim the hedges, and then I got another lawn out on La Cienega.
Suppose we say fooey to the hedges. Can you spare an hour after lunch to sit for me?
I can't.
Well, I'd pay you our going rate, plus whatever you would have got for the hedges.
I just don't feel like sitting still today.
All righty. I understand.
Hannah carries the dirty dishes back to the kitchen and puts them in the sink. In the dining room, Whale and Clay are lighting cigars.
So you ever been married, Mr. Whale?
No. Well, not in the legal sense.
What other sense is there?
Well, one can live as husband and wife without getting the law involved.
So then you did have a wife?
Or a husband, depending on which of us you asked. My friend David lived here for many years. Huh. Does that surprise you?
No. You're a homosexual.
If one must use a clinical name.
I'm not, you know.
I never thought you were.
You don't even think of me that way, do you?
And what way would that be?
Well, the way that I look at women.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. I know a real man like you would break my neck if I so much as laid a finger on you.
Besides, you're not my type. So, we understand each other.
Living like this.
I hope this has got nothing to do with your refusing to sit for me today.
Oh, no, no, no.
What are you afraid of, Mr. Boone? Surely not a frail old man like me.
A little later, Clay's posing in the studio, his shirt on, while Whale draws.
Tell me more about yourself, Mr. Boone. Have you a steady companion?
Not at the moment.
Oh, why not?
Well, because I guess you gotta kiss ass just to get a piece of it.
Nicely put.
Man's gonna make up his life alone.
A philosopher?
Thoreau. With a lawnmower.
I like it. Yes. But do be careful, Mr. Boone. Freedom is a drug, you know, much like any other. Too much can be a very bad thing.
And is that why you and your friend split up? Because he wanted to be free?
Yes, I suppose. I know, it's why I stopped making pictures. You might not think it to look at me now, but there was a time when I was at the very pinnacle of my profession. The horror movies were behind me. I'd made Showboat. Major success. Big box office. So now I was to do something important. The picture was called The Road Back. It was an indictment of the Great War and what it did to Germany. It was going to be my masterpiece.
What happened?
The fucking studio butchered it. They took the guts out of my picture. They brought in another director to add some slapstick. And the movie laid an egg. A great expensive bomb for which I was blamed. Well, after that, I was out of fashion. I could no longer command the best project. So I walked away. Why should I spend my time working in this dreadful business?
Do you miss it?
Oh, it was all so long ago. 15 years. Making movies is the most wonderful thing in the world. Working with friends, entertaining people. Yes, I suppose I miss it. But I chose freedom. David, of course, was still in the thick of it. A life chock-a-block with anxiety and studio intrigue. I didn't fancy spending my golden years as the friend. So I finally drew down the curtain and closed the show. And when the fetters are loosened, certain hedonism creeps in, don't you think? Oh, there was a time when this house was full of young men. Some of them even posed for me, right where you're sitting now. Of course, they weren't nearly so bashful. Oh, no, this studio was full of bare buttocks and pricks. Hard, arrogant pricks.
Okay, just cut it out, okay? Isn't it bad enough that you've told me you're a fucking fairy, and now you gotta rub my face in it?
Mr. Boone, I assure you I didn't mean...
Fuck this! I can't do this anymore! From now on, I'm just a guy that cuts your lawn! Got it?
Clay knocks over the coat stand and storms out.
Jimmy? Come on, Jimmy. Watch me die.
Whale smiles at a young man outside the screen door wearing swimming shorts. The man turns, walks onto a diving board, and dives into the water. Whale watches with a look of tenderness and admiration. The pool is full of naked young men, swimming about, sitting on the edge, and chatting to each other. A lithe, muscly young man steps out of the pool, and Whale gazes at his naked body with a hungry look, a hesitant smile playing across his lips.
Hey, Harry, send me up. Where's Betty?
Took the night off. Heavy date. Some guy she's had her eye on for a while.
Harry sets a bottle of beer on the bar in front of Clay, then heads off. Clay lights a cigarette, then scans the room. He notices a young woman giving him the eye. He sidles over to her. Now in his trailer, Clay and the woman are having hot, frantic sex. A little later, Clay looks at his reflection in a pool of water in the sink. Then he scoops up a handful and washes his face.
Hello, Helen. It's Clay.
No, I'm not in jail. I don't need any money. Thanks. Is Sis there? Put her on. There's this movie guy I met out here. She'd get a real bang out of it. Just let me talk. Where is she? You don't know. Yeah, I'd give you my phone number if I had a phone, wouldn't I? Put the old man on. Yeah, forget it. Just let him sleep it off. All right. Yeah. Time's up, Helen, now. I'm out of dimes. Uh-huh. Have one for me.
Now, Wales sitting in his living room, smoking a cigarette. Hannah comes in and gestures to him. Wales looks over, and a moment later, Clay steps into the room.
Mr. Boo. Thank you, Hannah.
Hannah leaves.
I want to sit for you again. Only if you promise to ease up on the locker room talk, okay?
Wales holds up two fingers.
Scout's honor.
I'm curious, Mr. Boone. What convinced you to come back?
I don't know. I like your stories, I guess.
Oh, everyone's got stories to tell.
Not me.
And the fear that you displayed at our last session, how did you overcome that?
More like disgust.
Oh, same difference, Mr. Boone. Disgust, fear of the unknown, all part of the great gulf that stands between us two. Am I right in assuming that you have little experience with men of my persuasion? No teammates in football? No comrades in career?
You must think that the whole world is queer, don't you? You know what? It's not. And war certainly isn't.
Oh, there may be no atheists in the foxholes, but there are occasionally lovers.
You're talking through your hat now.
No, I'm not. I was in the foxholes myself.
You were a soldier.
I was an officer in the trenches.
Was this World War I?
No, my dear, the Crimean War. Well, what do you think? The Great War. There were trenches when I arrived and trenches when I left 2 years later. Just like in the movies, end of the movies. They never get the stench of it all. The world reduced to mud and sandbags and a narrow strip of rainy sky. What were you talking about? Oh. Love in the trenches. Barnett. Is that his name? Leonard Barnett. He'd come straight to the front from school. From Harrow. And he looked up. Me. Wasn't like the others. He didn't care that I was a working class man impersonating my betters. Strange to be admired so blindly. I suppose he loved me. I remember one morning in particular. A morning when the sun came out. It's odd how even there were days when the weather was enough to make one happy. He and I stood on the fire step. I was showing him the sights of No Man's Land. It was beautiful. Beautiful. And I was shoulder to shoulder with a tall, apple-cheeked schoolboy who loved me. And trusted me.
Wales' face trembles with emotion, and his eyes glisten with tears.
You will not do this to me again, Mr. Mr. Boone. You will not set me on another walk down memory lane. I absolutely refuse. Oh, why do I tell you all this? I never told David. I never even remembered until you got me going.
Look, you started in on this.
Mr. Boone, you just sit there. You let me talk.
Yes, the poor old man, you think to yourself, yeah, the crazy old poof. Now, why are you here? Let's get this straight. What did you want from me?
You wanted me to model, remember?
But of course I remember. What do you think I am, so fucking senile?
His face just inches from Clay's. Whale glares at him and scrutinizes his face.
Mr. Whale?
Oh, stupid.
Mr. Whale, are you all right?
What was I thinking about? Where would you go? I'm sorry, please. Why don't you just go?
I just don't get it. At first you creep me out with this homo shit, and then you hit me with war stories, and now you're upset with me because I listen to you? What do you want?
I want... There's no more than anything else I want, a glass of water.
Clay pours him a glass of water.
I do apologize.
Your arm done.
I have no business snapping it.
Clay lights a cigarette.
It's foolishness to start this portrait, you know.
You mean you don't want me to sit for you anymore?
Whale shakes his head, and Clay can't hide his disappointment. Whale looks away and folds his arms. Clay takes a drag of his cigarette.
Would you like to come to a party with me? A reception for Princess Margaret.
I thought you said you weren't going to go.
If you don't mind driving, I'd like to take you as my guest.
Yeah, sure, I'm game, why not?
Very good, Clayton. May I call you Clayton?
Clayton? Yeah, sure. Clayton's fine.
Mr. Boone, he's an interesting friend.
I'd hardly call a yardman a friend.
Oh, no, but someone you can talk to. What needs pressing?
Do you miss having someone to talk to, Hannah?
I have my family also, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh. Tell me, how is the old boy these days? We need a hat with that. There's a Panama.
Oh, maybe in your old room. No, in the storage closet.
Whale tries out some ties, while Hannah runs off to answer the phone.
Yeah? Oh, Eva? Ne. Me at your neck, my legend. Meet a car of war? No, show an Las Vegas.
Whale heads upstairs. In the storage closet, he opens a bag and pulls out an old gas mask. He holds it in his hands, running his fingers across the gaping glass eyepieces. He remembers being in the trenches.
Gas mask on!
In the closet, Whale holds the gas mask against his face. In the trenches, a young whale clasps his hands over the gas mask strapped around his head. Hannah comes up the stairs.
Oh, Mr. Jimmy, that is my daughter. She says she and her husband are coming to town this afternoon. Here, I'm sorry, Mr. Jimmy, I will make it short.
I will be out myself this afternoon, remember?
Whale gets into the passenger seat of the car, wearing his Panama hat.
I suppose you'd like the top down.
If that's all right with you.
Nothing would please me more.
Sitting in the driver's seat, Clay pulls down the top of the car. He smiles at Whale as they drive off. Hannah shakes her head with a bemused smile as the car heads down the driveway.
Oh, good old George. He loves to put on the dog. Slim picking. Mind you, it's early yet. Perhaps this is a good time for us to go and pay our respects.
You'd be here. How are you?
Fine, I'm just fine. And your Royal Highness?
Splendid. Now that I know that you're around, Can we get together while I'm in town? I so badly want to sit for you again.
Sit there.
I've changed my hair, you see, since our last session. Those old snaps look rather dowdy now. Oh, dear. Have I made a blunder?
The pleasure is mine. James Whale.
I am such a goose. I mistook you for Cecil Beaton. It's the hat. You're wearing one of Cecil's hats, you know.
George, James Whale, David Lewis's friend. I used to make pictures myself, Mum.
Yes, of course. One can't throw a rock in this town without hitting one of us old movie directors.
Mum, may I introduce Mr. Clayton Boone, my gardener.
How do you do? Clay Boone.
Quite. I adore gardens.
He's never met a princess. Only queens.
George looks unimpressed.
Well, George, Mum, this has been an honour, and one that I shall remember for the rest of my life.
Whale puts on his hat, places a hand on Clay's shoulder, then leads him away. Clay smiles politely and shakes George's hand.
Great place.
Hello.
Whale and Clay stroll across the lawn.
What was that all about?
Oh, don't worry, nothing of any importance, just two old men slapping each other with lilies. I'm sorry.
Who's that?
David. The friend I thought was in New York.
No, I'm the girl.
Oh, it's Elizabeth Taylor.
David walks towards them.
Yes, David produced her last picture.
What are you doing here?
I was just going to ask you the same thing. Thought you were still in New York.
I was, until last night. I was going to call. David Lewis.
Hey, Clay Boone.
Our yard man, who's been kind enough to serve as my escort to George's little do.
Should you be drinking in your condition?
Oh, David, will you stop being a nanny?
I think I'm going to go and get another beer.
You should have seen George's face when he saw Clayton.
You didn't, Jimmy.
Well, I did. Mind you, Princess Margaret's an absolute doll. Well, we're all equals in her eyes. As commoners, I presume.
You only embarrass yourself.
Oh, dear, I'll never work in this town again.
You know what I mean. Your reputation.
I have no reputation. I am as free as the air.
But the rest of us aren't. Can't you remember that?
No, I never could. I suppose you regret having got me invited here.
I didn't ask George to invite you.
Ah, well then who did?
I have people here I need to speak to. You'll be all right on your own?
Yeah, perfect.
I'll drop by tomorrow for breakfast.
A waiter brings over some drinks.
Oh, I say. Thank you very much. Just the one.
Whale saunters past a pond where two swans are floating gracefully. He climbs some stone steps up to a patio area, leaning against a pillar for support. In his other hand is a cocktail glass. He sits down, takes off his sunglasses, and smells some yellow and white flowers in a glass vase.
Mr. Whale! Mr. Whale!
Mr. Whale.
Mr. Kay.
Bet you never thought you'd see me again. I didn't know if you'd be well enough to come to this party.
You didn't?
I'm the one who got you on Mr. Cuker's guest list.
You, Mr. K. But how do you know George Cukor?
Well, I interviewed him after I met you. I'm his social secretary now. Well, assistant to his secretary.
Yes, I commend you. If you're going to pursue poofs, go after those who can do favors for you.
You just waste everyone's time when you court dinosaurs.
Don't think like that, Mr. Whale. I love your movies. That's why I wanted you to come, so I could see you with your monsters.
My monsters?
Don't go away.
Kay scampers over to a woman.
Excuse me, Miss Lynch.
Whale looks deeply perturbed. He puts on his sunglasses and gets to his feet, trying to make a discreet getaway.
Jimmy!
Elsa!
How are you?
Grinning, Kay races off again.
I saw Una O'Connor a few weeks ago. She said you'd been under the weather.
Oh, well, nothing out of the ordinary. Getting old.
Nonsense. Ah, what's our pesky friend up to now? Is that Boris? Our little chum appears to be arranging a reunion. Boris,
Elsa,
darling.
Elsa. And James. James, how good to see you.
I didn't know you were here. These public revels are hardly up your alley.
Actually, I'm here for the sake of Miranda. My great-grandniece.
Coochie-coo. And what do you make of our royal visitant?
Perfectly charming. A real lady.
What did you expect, a hussy in tennis shoes?
Hey, you, with the camera. We got a historical moment here. Come, get a picture of it. This is Mr. James Whale, who made Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein. And this, forget the baby a second, is the monster and his bride.
Oh, Karloff, right.
Whale looks uneasy as they pose for the picture.
Don't you just love being famous?
The camera flashes.
To a new world of gods and monsters.
Whale flinches as he remembers a smoke-enshrouded battlefield, a body tangled on a barbed wire fence, a screaming bride of Frankenstein.
Are you all right, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Got it.
A little later, Whale wanders through the gardens.
Mr. Whale. Are you okay?
I'm tired. I'm a bit tired. Are you enjoying yourself?
No. Actually, I feel a little out of place here.
Well, neither of us really fits in.
That must have been funny for you. Seeing your monsters again?
Monsters. The only monsters I hear.
He touches his head.
Oh, Mark, you left the top down.
You want to run for it?
Run for it?
It's raining!
Clay pulls Whale aside, and they take shelter beneath a sun umbrella while the rest of the party guests run indoors. Whale stares into the rain as though hypnotized. He sees Leonard Barnett, the young soldier from the trenches, standing in the garden and looking at him with a tender smile, water dripping from his face.
Mr. Whale? Mr. Whale?
Let's get out of this punk hole.
You sure you don't want to wait it out?
We aren't made of sugar. We won't melt. All of this too solid flesh would melt.
Get you home before you catch your death of pneumonia.
Catch my death.
Are you okay, Mr. Whale?
Jimmy, please. Call me Jimmy.
Having pulled up the roof, Clay starts the car and drives off.
Hello, St. Charles, we're soaked to the dump. Oh, blast it. Well, if we soil your floor, it's your own bloody fault.
He reads a note left on the table.
Oh, I don't believe it. Oh, don't worry, she'll be back. She just can't say no to her daughter.
Well, you certainly have better things to do than to babysit an old man.
You didn't have anything planned.
Well, you go and get a shower upstairs and I'll get you something dry to wear.
Whale fastens a bow tie in the mirror and speaks to Leonard Barnett, who's standing behind him.
Well, what do you think?
Mr. Whale?
Clay comes down the stairs wearing a towel around his waist.
Those clothes you promised.
Well, trust me.
Whale turns to face Barnett.
Well? Jimmy?
Clay steps into the darkened bedroom.
Oh, yes.
Mr. Whale?
I'm...
Whale's distracted from his fantasy.
Yes, of course. Clay, do come in. Now, I promised to get you some dry clothes, won't we? Now, the trouble is you're so large, you wouldn't want to attempt to get into my pants.
No, definitely not.
Very good, Clay. Now, I know. This absolutely swims on me, so you that should deal with your upper half, and then we just need to deal with the rest, don't we?
Do you have any baggy shorts or pajama bottoms?
No, I'm sorry. My pajamas are all tailored. Would it be too distressing for you to continue with that towel? You know, it's hardly more modest than a kilt, you know. Yes. Oh, very sporting of you, Clayton.
Say, is this
Yes, it's the only memento I ever kept. My original sketch for the monster. Shall we?
Yeah.
As Whale heads out the door, he turns and looks at Barnett, who's smiling steadily at him. Lightning splashes over Whale's framed sketch of the monster.
When we've finished eating, if Hannah's not back, shall we try a few more sketches?
I thought you'd given up on my drawing.
Yeah, but I'd like to try again.
Give us something new while we wait.
Whale downs his whiskey.
Tell me something, Clayton. Do you believe in mercy killing?
Oh, I never really gave it much thought.
Must have come across such situations in Korea. A wounded comrade, or perhaps even an enemy, you know, someone for whom death would be a blessing.
I never went to Korea. I never even made it through boot camp. But you said, and I was a Marine, which is true. You filled in the rest.
Oh, I see.
Old man was a Marine. Lied about his age and he enlisted.
Is this the Great War?
Yeah. Yeah. By the time he was ready to ship out, all the fighting was over, though, so he felt like he'd missed out.
Well, that was a very lucky thing indeed.
That's not the way he saw it. To him, it was like his life never really got started. Nothing else seemed to matter. Certainly not his family.
Is that why you became a Marine? For your father's sake?
I figured it'd be the next best thing. I mean, but, you know, I loved it, too. I really did. It was a chance to be a part of something important, something that's bigger than yourself.
So what happened?
I didn't have the guts for it. Literally. My appendix burst. They gave me a medical discharge. And the only thing I can think is, how the hell am I going to tell my father? And you know what happened when I finally did tell him? He laughed at me.
Whale looks at Clay, and Clay looks away.
Well, them's the breaks, huh? So, no war stories for this pup.
That's why you're wrong, Clay. You've just told me one. Very good story indeed.
The storm is getting worse.
Perfect night for mystery and horror. The air itself is filled with monsters.
It's from one of your movies, right?
Very good.
The only monsters are here.
Don't remember that one.
James Whale. This afternoon at the party, you said, the only monsters are here. I was wondering which... here that was.
No, I don't recall. Memories of the war, perhaps.
Whale looks suddenly mournful.
Barnett. Barnett on the wire.
Your friend?
Yes. He caught his one night coming back from reconnaissance. I wouldn't take him, but McGill did.
just to give the lady a taste. And they were nearly home when a Maxim gun opened fire. Barnett's body landed on this wire that was as thick as briars. It was hanging there the next morning. It was only about 100 yards from the line, but too far for anyone to fetch it. So we saw him every morning, Stanto, and every evening, Stanto. Good morning, Barnett, used to say to him. How's old Barnett looking today? Well, he seems a little peaky. It looks a little plumper. And he hung there, well, at least until we were relieved. We introduced him to the new unit before marching out, speaking highly of his companionship. God, we were a witty lot, laughing at our dead, feeling that it was our death too. But I tell you, for each man who died, I thought, a better you than me, poor sod. You know, a whole generation was wiped out by that war.
You survived it. Can't hurt you now. No good to dig it up.
Oh. Friend, it's digging itself up. There is nothing in the here and now to take my mind off it. Parties, you were there. Reading, I can't. I can't concentrate. There's no work. Of course, and love, and painting. Drawing, I mean. Look.
Whale shows in the drawings, nothing but doodles and scrawls.
Your portrait, Clayton.
It's all gone from me now. All gone. They're nothing but the scribblings of an infant. There's nothing. Nothing.
Whale goes over to the window, his reflection cast in the glass. Clay downs his drink, then stands up and turns to Whale. Reflected in the window, he pulls off the sweater Whale lent him, revealing his muscular torso.
Said you wanted to draw me like a statue.
He pulls away the towel and lets it drop to the floor. Whale touches the pane of glass where Clay's well-toned body is reflected. He turns to face him, and Clay gives him a smile. Whale takes a step towards him.
What did you say?
No, it won't do.
What won't do?
Much too human.
Well, what do you expect, bronze? Don't move!
Whale hurries into the hallway and picks up the gas mask. He glances up to see Frankenstein's monster standing over him. Whale smiles, then heads back to Clay.
I want you to wear this.
Why?
Just so that I can see the artistic effect. You know, your very human body against the inhuman mask. Oh, very striking.
I don't know.
Oh, come on, Clayton. Just for a minute, just so that I can see the effects.
From the First World War, isn't it?
Yes. It passes one back. Let me help you.
Whale puts the mask on Clay, fastening the straps on the back.
Now what? All right, let's take it off.
What?
It's too tight. I can't breathe.
Oh, no, leave it. I'll help.
Leave it to me.
Whale stands behind Clay.
Well, can you...
I'm still here.
He puts his hands on Clay's shoulder.
You want stealing muscles? You've got that.
Take the fucking mask off me now, okay?
Solid brute, you are.
Oh,
Hey, just get your fucking hands off me!
It's no use, Clayton. I can't hear you.
Hey,
I can't hear a word. Oh, well then, maybe this.
He grabs Clay's crotch. Clay elbows him in the stomach, but Whale lunges and grapples him to the floor.
How will you ever get yourself back?
Like I told you, I'm not that way. Get through your fucking head, all right?
Clay gets on top of Whale and punches him in the face.
Deadly mistake.
It's all right. I tell my friends about this when they'd be surprised.
I haven't done anything with you.
You undressed for me. I've been kissing you. I even touched your prick. How will you ever be able to live with yourself?
What do you want from me? I want you to kill me. Break my neck and strangle me.
It'll be so easy to choke the life out of me.
Come on, Clay. We've come this far. I'm losing my mind. Every day a new piece of it goes, and soon there'll be none of it left. But if you kill me, death will be bearable. You could be my second monster. Come on. Please, do it now. Make me invisible.
He pulls Clay's hands around his throat.
I am not your monster!
Clay climbs off him and crawls away, sobbing. Whale leans up and crawls towards Clay.
You're a bloody pussycat.
He gets to his feet a little unsteadily and staggers over to Clay. Clay looks up at him.
My deepest apologies. Will you ever forgive me? No, I suppose not.
Whale lets out a long, sighing breath, and his head slowly sinks down. Suddenly, he seems to come to his senses.
I've got to get to bed.
He trudges out of the room, and Clay watches him go, his face streaked with tears.
Are you okay?
Okay.
You need some help?
Clay, you undo this button.
Clay comes into the bedroom, a blanket wrapped over his body.
I don't seem to be able to manage it, but I'm tired.
Clay undoes his top button.
Do you believe people come into our lives for a purpose? No, okay, I can manage now.
Whale takes off his shirt and lies back on the bed.
When you die, make sure that your brain is the last organ to fizzle. You'll feel better tomorrow.
Whale reaches up and puts his hand on Clay's head, caressing his hair.
Good night.
He turns onto his side.
Good night.
Clay trudges out of the room. Lightning splashes across Whale's face. His head is pressed against the pillow. Now two figures in silhouette against a grey and stormy sky. One a frail old man, the other a lumbering giant with a flat-topped head. The larger figure holds the smaller man by the hand, leading him onwards. As bombs explode in the distance, light flashes on their faces, revealing them to be Whale and Clay. They look down at a trench, where soldiers are sleeping, Leonard Barnett among them. Whale looks at Clay, and Clay nods encouragingly. Whale returns the nod, then ventures towards the trench. Whale steps over the sleeping men, making his way towards Barnett. Clay watches him sadly. Whale sits beside a sleeping Barnett, puts his hand on his knee, then lies down beside him. He closes his eyes and sleeps, while Clay watches. Clay wakes up with a start.
Hello? Oh, hello, Mr. David. No, you didn't tell me, but that's no problem. I make the breakfast. 10, yeah, very good. Goodbye.
Oh, Hannah, this is not what you think it is.
Roger, your clothes. All I ask is you get dressed and go. We have guests for breakfast.
Hannah, I need to talk to you about Mr. Whale.
There is nothing you can say that surprised me.
Maybe, but I still need to talk to you about him. Just make me have a cup of coffee.
God, blame my daughter for keeping me out so late. I only hope you did not get him excited. You could give him new stroke.
Why do you do it, Hannah?
What do I do?
Why do you take care of him like he was your own flesh and blood?
It's my job. I did it when he was happy. It was easy. It's only fair I do it now he's ill. Oh, enough of this talk. I must go wake the master. Mr. Jimmy, good morning. Mr. Jimmy.
Clay finds an envelope with a drawing of Frankenstein's monster inside.
Have you done with him? You look for him.
I put him to bed last night.
Mr. Jimmy?
Clay stands up, buttoning up his trousers. Suddenly, he sees something outside and runs out frantically. He dives into the swimming pool and swims towards Whale's body, which is lying face down in the water, his arms outstretched. As Clay's dragging Whale over to the side of the pool, Hannah runs out. Clay heaves Whale out of the water.
No! Mr. Jimmy! Jimmy! Jimmy Urnek!
He wanted me to kill him! And then he did it himself! I didn't do this!
Mr. Jimmy! He says here goodbye. I find in this room is sorry, he says he's had a wonderful life.
She hands Clay a suicide note.
Poor foolish man.
She kisses Whale's pale lips.
You could not wait for God to take you in this time. You must leave. You were not here this morning.
I'm telling you, look, I did not do this.
Police will not know that. They will want to investigate.
We got a note.
You want them to question you about Mr. Jimmy? Please, Clayton, it's better if I find the body alone.
How are you going to explain how you got him out of the water?
Mariam, you're right. We must put him back. Oh, Mr. Jimmy, we do not mean disrespect. You will keep better in water. Watch his feet. Mr. Jimmy,
together, they lift him up and throw him back into the pool. Whale floats face up in the water, his arms slowly stretching out on either side of him. Hannah's face is etched with grief, and Clay looks down at the body with a resigned, sad expression. Whale's face is turned up towards the sky, his expression peaceful. Now a scene from Bride of Frankenstein. An old man's playing the violin in a hut, while the monster listens outside, moved by the music. The monster staggers to the door and comes bursting in.
Who are you?
I think you're a stranger to me. I cannot see you. I cannot see anything. You must please excuse me, but I'm blind.
Perhaps you're afflicted too.
We shall be friends. It's very lonely here, and it's been a long time since any human being came into this hut. I shall look after you, and you will comfort me.
A young boy's watching the film on TV. Clay's watching from the sofa.
No, no. This is good. Smoke. You try.
Oh.
The monster takes a puff of the cigar.
Good, good. I was all alone. It is bad to be alone.
Alone. Bad. Friend. Good.
Friend. Good.
The credits come up.
Time for bed, sport.
So what did you think of the movie?
Pretty cool. Better than most monster movies.
Yeah? I knew the guy who made it.
Come on, Des, another one of your stories.
Oh. Clay shows him the sketch of Frankenstein's monster.
It's the original sketch of the monster.
Clay's son looks at the back of the sketch. Written there are the words, "For Clayton," and then, "Friend," with a question mark.
Is this for real?
Clay, the trash before it rains.
Clay lifts up his son. He kisses his wife. Then, a while later, Clay's taking out the trash can. He looks up at the sky as lightning splashes across his face. Suddenly, a shower of rain cascades over him. Clay wanders into the street, taking big, lumbering steps like Frankenstein's monster. He sticks his arms out in front of him and lurches about in the rain. He jumps into a puddle, then staggers onwards like the monster, before finally fading away behind a sheet of driving rain.